Next committee is Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Leslie McBean-Clairborn, Chair.
What am I doing?
Committee report.
That was fast. I didn't even get up.
Sorry. Give your report, then you can leave.
WDIC met.
Oh, I don't remember.
We met. Last Wednesday. Oh, thank you. I'm still trying to recover. Last Wednesday, we talked about our bylaws. We just made some changes to the bylaws, especially around membership, and that will be going to budget committee. So there was a vote on that, and we also had a very lively and spirited discussion on disability accommodations within the county. So we have left with some homework, pretty much talking about what do we have in place right now, how do we communicate that to the public so they know what's available, and then what do we need to add next to make sure that we are meeting the needs of the public who are requiring disability accommodations to participate in our meetings, to come to our offices, etc. So that was took up the bulk of our meeting on what we've been talking about. And that's my report.
Thank you.
And
Leslie,
we will not meet in December because, as anal as I am, no one wanted to meet on December 28th. I did. So we will meet again in January.
All right.
Is that right, Karen? Thank you.
Thank you. Leslie Dooley?
Leslie, could you give a rough idea of what changes in membership are being proposed?
Dooley, if I can find my notes, I will let you know. We were talking of, well, our biggest thing was related to quorum, and so we're going to majority of members present as opposed to majority of seated members at this point.
Are you reducing the membership size?
We are not reducing the membership number. We're not. And we also changed some of the designated seats, like we have this many for employees, this many for legislators, this many. And so we've made a slight change to that, and we have a couple of them more undesignated, so whomever comes on board.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you, Leslie. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Health Committee has not met since our last legislative meeting, and to make up for that, we've scheduled three meetings in December. The topic will be what do we do next about the emergency regulations so we can define for Brian what constitutes an emergency. Seriously, the next committee meeting, pardon me, the next committee meeting is the 14th. Hopefully it'll be the last one of the year. A major item which we don't want to overlook, and this is serious, is the review that we're doing now. The first meeting was today in the selection process of the new mental health commissioner. That committee met today, and I'm going to defer to Joe about adding any particulars to it. But the next official committee meeting will be the 14th.
Just a little bit beyond that, just timeline. The committee's goal is to bring a recommendation to you for confirmation sometime in late April or early May. It'll be a 60-day recruitment process, so there'll be ads out there for the next 60 days. If any legislator has suggestions about places where ads should be located or ways to market this, let us know. But, again, it's a 13-person search committee. Three legislators are on it. Very good group. And by late April, early May, we should be back with a decision. That's our goal.
Thank you. Thank you, Martha.
All right. Any questions for Frank? Thank you, Frank. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Carol Chalk, Chair.
Thank you. The committee met on December 2nd, last Friday. Thank you for passing. There were three items in the consent agenda, and there's an item in your packet Just for your information, there was an audit of final payment on bridge painting, various locations, and I thought you just might like to see all the various bridges that we painted, although it does not come to the entire legislature for action. I have, why don't I do my resolutions first? I would introduce Resolution E, authorization to enter into a 15-year lease with Solar Liberty for solar panels placed at various county facilities. And I so move.
And that's the revised one in the packets, right?
It is the revised one in your packets. There.
Just, I have to get a second.
I don't think there are any significant.
Dave, was that a second? Thank you. Okay, is there discussion on it? Kathy, then Frank.
Thank you. I love the name of this company, Solar Liberty. I just have a few questions about it. You know, I have a great interest in solar power, being an electrician, and I'm also very interested in economic development. One of the things that I'm interested in is knowing the origin of these photocells. Were they made in Tompkins County? Were they made in New York State? Were they made in the United States? Were they made in North America? I just would really like to know, because I think it's important to us when we make a commitment of this kind, a 15-year lease, that we recognize whether we're having an impact on our local economy or not. And if so, I'd love to see some language in here acknowledging that, because I think it's important. And if not, I think we have something to look out for.
Ed, do you know? Do you have an answer?
We did ask all those questions of the contractor here. Solar Liberty is located in Buffalo, New York. The solar panels that they use are all manufactured in the United States, and the framework for, you know, placing the solar panels on the roofs are actually manufactured in Buffalo as well. So it's all U.S. manufactured equipment, and the company is located in New York State in Buffalo.
Big points.
Thank you very much, Ed. Frank, did you have your hand up?
Yes, I
okay,
did.
Then duly, Frank.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Frank.
Carol, I don't know if I should address this to you or perhaps to Joe, but I have a couple of questions that I just want to run this by. First, let me just ask them, and then you can take them in any order you like. First, is there a penalty in the agreement if the forecast of savings that they've mentioned are not achieved? Secondly, is there a clause in the agreement which protects the county in the event that this company is sold, goes bankrupt, because we're going to be in bed with them for 15 years? And at the end of the 15 years, is there a clause or some condition that indicates that the condition of the panels, if we choose to buy them, that the condition will meet certain benchmarks, that they'll be in good shape or whatever? I mean, is there some protection for us?
Let me see if I can start. And I may need Ed to jump in here. But with respect to savings, a part of the arrangement is that the company will guarantee that the lease payments that we make, the $125 per month, will never or will always be less than the amount that we're spending for the energy, the payments to utility companies that we make right now. So the worst case ever in this arrangement would be that it would be cost neutral. The projections are that we will save, as you've seen in the numbers, I think it's $9,000 a year. But again, let me read it to you. They guarantee that lease payments for any annual lease period will be less than the amount paid to the utility company in the 12 months prior to signing the lease. So there really is a fail-safe there, and it is a guarantee. With respect to protection, what if the company goes under? It's a lease. So in terms of an obligation to the company, I'd ask, I guess, Jonathan to handle that. But I don't think that there's a risk presented to the county. If the company goes bankrupt, creditors could take the panels, I guess. That would be their remedy. Do you want to speak to that?
Well, what?
I guess the short answer, it's a somewhat complicated transaction because it's actually more than one company.
Can you get closer to the mic?
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, in the event the company goes bankrupt or something like that, it's a breach of their lease and of the lease, and we have various options of what we can do in that case, which are designed to protect the county. Mm-hmm. You know, as you know, when somebody goes bankrupt, there's always some risk, but we do have several, you know, it's a breach of the contract, and that we have various ways in which we could respond designed to protect the county's interests.
Does that may pose a risk or does pose a risk?
Not the, well, if you'll vote for it, I'll go with may.
But the other part of it is going back to what Kathy asked about the, and Ed was right up front with the companies in Buffalo. I mean, you can't protect against everything. I mean, there's no way to do that. But if the company is sold to something offshore...
a Canadian.
Well, Canadian be okay. But the, you know, I mean, is there some protection? We've seen instances where the controlling stock interest in a company is sold to someone we'd rather not do business with. And that the county would rather not do business with. We found that in the solid waste industry occasionally. Is there some protection in that regard?
Yes and no. I mean, there is an assignment clause, which I believe they could assign, but it's subject to our reasonable approval. As you know, with corporations, you know, when you have a deal with a corporation, and you know this working for a bank as well as anyone, the corporation could take on different ownership, which could be even worse than the transfer. So I'm not sure that really protects one.
Carol, did you want to add anything to that?
Yeah. Frank, for me, on that question, the upside of doing the whole thing is that we get to install solar panels, renewable energy, meet our goals to do that now at a price that we can't afford. It'll be quite a number of years before we could afford to lay out that kind of money. The downside, in general, for me, is that I may expect that sometime in the next 15 years, the price of solar panels is going to come down to a price, and our budget would recover to a point where we might be able to have been able to do it ourselves, and we've tied our roof space up for 15 years. On balance, I'm happy to do this now because I think we don't know when we'd be able to do it ourselves. If, in fact, the company goes bankrupt, and if, in fact, it's not bought out by another company that would honor our lease and would be duty bound to honor our lease, and the panels get taken away, I believe that sometime in the midst of that 15 years, the price of solar panels may come down to a point at which we could afford them. So I don't think we lose in that situation in that regard. And same thing sort of on your question on number three, what happens if at the end of 15 years we don't like the shape they're in? Again, we don't have to buy them. And, in fact, we might have a chance by then to install panels, the next generation of panels, which I believe will exist by then. So, in short, I think this is worth doing now. I think those were good questions. But the answer on the first one I was particularly interested in hearing. But you know, on balance, I think this is worth doing now.
Joe, earlier this evening we passed the resolution hiring CNS to do some work on the roof replacement at the airport, at the terminal. We don't have solar panels on that building. Would it be, we've made a list in the sixth whereas here about which buildings we're going to tackle. Would this be an opportunity to do a little more?
Well, they looked at all the buildings. They looked at all of our buildings, and the threshold was, is there a benefit that exceeds the cost? So these are the seven buildings where we went through the analysis and we found that there's a payoff for this. So I don't think the terminal made that cut.
Okay. Thank you.
You did ask Frank about what happens after the lease period. I want to make sure you got the answer to it. I think Carol pointed to it. We can buy them if we choose to. If we do, we buy them at market value. So if they've deteriorated, that would be reflected in market value. We could extend the lease under renegotiated terms, or we could say take the panels off the roofs. Those are the three options available to us.
I've got Dooley, then Kathy, then Peter.
Responding to the question of made in the USA, I would like to suggest in the sixth whereas that it say a 15-year lease of 25 kilowatt U.S.-made photovoltaic cell solar panels. And in the final resolved that it identify Solar Liberty as Solar Liberty of Buffalo, New York.
That is in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th whereas, Buffalo-based firm.
I was just putting it in the resolved also.
Okay. Solar Liberty of Buffalo, New York? Yeah. Okay. Now, is that friendly to Carolyn? I lost track. Dave, did you second this? It's friendly? Okay. Okay, thank you. We got Kathy and then Peter and then Mike.
Well, I'd like to thank Dooley for making that suggestion. In a similar vein, I had thought of maybe whereas, although admittedly I'm not wed to it because it's not exactly. Anyway, what I would suggest is, for example, the fifth after the fourth whereas, something like, whereas Solar Liberty frames are made in Buffalo and the PV solar panels are manufactured in the U.S., thus supporting American jobs, and something like that.
Sure.
But I also like the two suggestions you made. Anytime you put something in the resolve, I mean, that's cachet there. It's a wonderful thing. So if that could be a, I don't know, if it was friendly, that would be great. If not, I could move to amend it. I'm not real excited either way.
So that's Carol and Dave. So you're saying the new fifth whereas, correct? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
And this would be instead of the former suggestion,
yeah,
or in addition?
You don't have to say U.S. twice.
I wouldn't mind leaving it in the resolve, too, though.
Resolved is different, but
yeah,
not in the...
I consider that friendly.
And I can read the words again if it'll help.
Is okay with you, Dave?
Yes.
Friendly. Okay, go ahead and read them again.
And I'm open to changes. Whereas Solar Liberty frames, and I hope I heard this right, Ed, Solar Liberty frames are made in Buffalo and the PV or photovoltaic solar panels are manufactured in the U.S., thus supporting American jobs. And you can carve it up and make it sound right. I don't mind.
You got that, Kathy? Okay, good. That's in there now. Okay. Thanks, Kathy. Peter?
Just a point of order. I seem to have slept through my report of this Public Safety Committee.
No.
We haven't gotten
the last one.
We'll wake you up.
Really?
No?
Go back to sleep.
No, we're...
I was looking at my agenda, and I was first on the list, so...
No, that's maybe last month, last meeting, because they rotate. All right. That was hard to deal with. Mike?
I just want to say, let's vote for this. You know, Tompkins County led the way on solar panels when we put them on the public library. It was controversial then. We had wonderful research from the EMC. We did that project. It's provided electric power for us ever since. I think it was the biggest project in the state at the time. Let's take another step here. It's not perfect. It's not exactly how we would do it if we could afford our own. But it says the right thing to people that solar makes sense in Tompkins County and upstate New York.
Thank you, Mike. Pam?
Well, the one defect with the panels on the library is that there was no tracking of the actual savings or what?
There was a report by the EMC a few years ago, and they continue to be tracked.
Okay, so there.
But it's not well publicized. That's certainly true.
Okay, well, I had heard that hadn't been done. I don't know what the EMC was basing its knowledge on. I mean, we didn't have any way of recording it.
Powerlight was recording it.
Okay.
The supply.
Okay, and so that will happen with these two, I assume? Is that going to happen?
And is there any?
They have to.
They have to guarantee the guarantee.
Okay, that's what I want to hear. Thank you.
Leslie.
So one of the things that I continue to ask in committee as Bob, these come forward, is to make sure that these improvements that we're doing do fit in with the Green Master Plan for the airport. So if no one had mentioned that before, here is a place where, this does fit as well with the future changes that will happen to the airport under its Green Master Plan. And I'm with Mike. I think it's great, and let's continue to lead the way.
Okay, thank you. All right, ready to vote. All in favor of Resolution E, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Very unanimous. Great. Thank you. Carol, you have F?
Yes. I would like to move Resolution F, and it's revised as adopted by the committee in your packets. Award of bid, pavement repair and drainage maintenance, County Solid Waste Management Division, and I so move.
Seconded by Leslie. Any discussion? Mike.
I'd like to point out that at committee, Barbara Ekstrom reported that this is slightly higher, well, quite a bit higher than they had originally anticipated for the project by about $25,000. However, they feel that this money is still within what was budgeted and that they can possibly tweak this project to improve the costs.
Okay. And I'll just add that, and if not, she can work that into her budget. It was the low bid.
Okay, ready to vote? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? All right, okay. That's unanimous. Thank you.
I'll give you a couple of other choice items from our committee discussion. As you know, we are approaching January 1st when our road use law will go into effect, and Joe and team have done a good job soliciting qualifications, put out an RFQ, and received packets of information from 3.5 firms, one of which we had talked to in the past, and is proceeding towards selection of a consultant. A team of people will be interviewing all three, and there was a sense that we had actually already had some meetings with the fourth, so essentially we'll have interviewed all four. I did hear that Danby has passed a road use law. That was mentioned at the committee. I don't have a copy of that. The search committee for the highway director is talking about proceeding with that search, and Joe can let us know more if he wants to about a time frame for that. And then we had a very interesting discussion at the committee about the resolution that you already approved from the airport authorizing the consultant agreement with CNS companies. I just want to make sure that people understand that CNS... We talked about awarding that to CNS versus whether this was a situation that we could leave open to bid. And essentially what we learned is that CNS oversees the work and has particular aptitude for doing that. Subcontract, the actual repair of the roof, will be open to subcontract, so local contractors can be solicited for that and be in the running. It is interesting to note that the FAA builds in to its system, requires a system that doesn't necessarily open these kinds of things up to the best cost open bid for the engineering work. There's an overhead rate built in to the contracts that the FAA approves of 140%. That's very high. But we get federal money to use their process. The alternative would be to make a roof repair on this one, for example, locally, with local dollars. It costs more in the long run to do it this way, but we're really not given any local control in this kind of decision. So I just want to point that out. I'm happy to proceed under those terms, but just people should be aware of the system we're working within. Other than that, if anybody else from the committee has anything else they'd like you to mention, I will do so.
Any questions? Okay, thank you, Carol. Capital Plan Review Committee. We met on November 18th. Start off with a discussion of parking, everybody's favorite subject. Anita Fitzpatrick gave us an overview of the current policy and reminded the committee that guaranteed parking is not a term or condition of employment for employees at the county. We had a great presentation by Straubel Walker and company that were working for the Holt Architects on the business case analysis of the center of government. And we had gone through the conceptual idea and what the designs might look like at the previous meeting. On November 18th, we went through the financial analysis. And there's a lot of material there. I won't summarize it, but we planned that the next legislature meeting will have a presentation by Arell and Holt Architects for everybody here. There's a lot of stuff folks need to be brought up to speed on regarding the center of government study, the analysis, and it's going to take a couple of meetings to go through it. So we'll talk about that with the experts at our next meeting. Earl gave a report on the Human Services Annex on the plans for renovation. Unfortunately, at the moment, the budget estimate is over what he had expected for the design of the renovations of the annex, and it seems that is some part of that is because of trying to make it work for the two different uses for COFA and later for the Justice Center. But they're still working on that budget. Arell told me today that they had a four-hour meeting yesterday to try to refine it and get the cost down. We heard good news from Arell that we have finally got approval from the state court system that they will accept the relatively minimal renovations to this room for us to move over so that we will switch with the Supreme Court room in the old courthouse. You remember they spent months going back and forth on whether this room needed to be modified to suit a 12-person jury or would an 8-person jury be sufficient, and the difference had to do with modifying walls and some very expensive stuff for a 12-person jury. Judge Mulvey has said he prefers to go ahead with the 8-person jury, the more modest renovations, and so I wrote him a letter, which I copied to all of you, sort of thanking him for that and, you know, agreeing that, you know, we can sort of move on to the next step. So That's going to save us quite a bit of money. The next meeting of the committee is Thursday at 3:30, and we will talk about Arell's next level of projects for that renovation. The idea will be, of course, to renovate the old courtroom first so we can move over there and then renovate this so they can move here. Pam?
Are we taking this lovely furniture with us?
We don't have a decision on that. Arell has said that moving us over there, probably the biggest expense will be furniture if we don't use these desks. So, maybe but that's all to be worked out.
Maybe we can get some new chairs.
Maybe we'll leave these chairs for the judge. Yes, yeah. Mike?
Martha, I think at the committee meeting, one of the things we talked about was having a meeting for all legislators to come and talk about those kinds of things, the amenities that might be needed and necessary, things like amplification, audio, video, a projection, screens, and those kind of things, so that before, you know, one person designs it, they have input from all 15 of us.
Of course, we did that a number of months ago when this idea first came up. We had an executive session over there, but I think it's a good reminder that we need to do that. And I await Arel's direction on, you know, how he wants to proceed and the timetable. He's juggling a lot of things on our behalf. So, are there any other questions for me about that report? All right, thank you. Government Operations, Mike Lane, Chair.
Yes, we met on November 17th. I want to bring two things to your attention. One, we reviewed a draft report on workplace flexibility for Tompkins County, a report evaluating opportunities, benefits, constraints, and concerns. And eventually the final report will be coming to everybody. But this is having to do with different ways of thinking about jobs, how we can do more with less, or perhaps still produce the same amount of work with more flexible use of our employees. Such things as job sharing, teleworking, part-time schedules, workplace flexibility in recruitment, other kinds of things like that. There's been a lot of work on this report. It's really the committee who's been has been doing this has taken a real thoughtful approach to this, and we'll be reviewing it when it's completed and sending it on to folks to look at. I think it's a good thing for our county. The other thing I wanted to mention is we began talk about the proposed ethics policy revision, and we're going through that line by line. We got through part of it at our meeting, and we will be continuing discussing that at our next meeting. This is something that will affect all of us. It has been stimulated by state suggestions about our policy and has been reviewed by Dooley Kiefer and her ethics committee, and is being now looked at by the Government Operations Committee. So that's what I wanted to tell you about, and I do have one resolution that I'd like to move.
And I'd like you to take L as well.
Sure.
And would you also update us on redistricting, if you would?
Certainly, I'd be glad to. Okay. The redistricting committee, the independent redistricting committee, has had, I believe, 9 meetings. And they've been very diligently going ahead with the process that we recommended and authorized. They have been working on various map scenarios and numbers of legislature scenarios. At this point, they're talking about reducing the legislature probably to 14 or 13 people. And the reason for that is they seem to be focusing on 4 districts in the city in order to preserve the boundaries. With a 15-member district that we have now, that will require a district in the city going out into the town of Ithaca somewhere. And that is at least one. And that is something that we had a lot of complaints about 10 years ago. And they're trying to see if they can preserve that border. Some of the 13-member scenarios, at least one of them, does quite a lot of changes in the outlying rural districts that need to be looked at. If I could make a recommendation to everybody here, it would be to pay attention to this process. Go online and look at these maps that are being presented. Once they start having their own hearings on this, go talk to them about your concerns, if you have any, or your praises, if you have any, and let the public come as well, because they're going to want to hear about their suggestions. There won't be a public hearing of this body on the redistricting until we have a report and proposed plan from the redistricting committee itself.
Thank you very much, Mike. Any questions on that? Great. Thanks for that report. Oh, I'm sorry, Leslie.
Mike, is there a, I don't know the answer, is there a point where as legislators we
would or should be able to have constituent meetings to talk about those proposals. I know we try to stay out of the process and make it as independent and fair as possible, but do you know?
Well, I think very soon. We have the interim report now from the group. If you want to have constituent meetings in your district, I think any time would be fine. I think it would be nice to coordinate it with the with Chair Hank DeLay to tell him that you're going to be doing that, or to simply invite your constituents to attend their meetings.
Okay, I just want to make sure that we are not, I wouldn't do anything that's going to add influence the process or go against what they're...
I don't think that would be, and I think we've been kind of, I've been kind of proud of our legislature here because we have given them their head and their independence here.
Thank you.
But I had the same question last night. I was wondering, so if, in other words, it's sort of not a hearing, but an open-ended time when the maps are on display and people can just ask questions, is that...
They're going to have hearings on these when they get ready to go.
Right, but a hearing sounds like people just come
maybe,
and make comments.
I mean, each of their meetings is open. They reached out to the public and the rural constituencies. They've reached out to the public and the city constituencies. So not a lot of people have come out and talked about them, but they haven't made a proposal yet.
But now we have maps, so I think it's a different deal. Will, and then
I'll
Peter.
Make a difference.
So I did take some time looking at the maps of the three preferred, or the three ones that are currently under consideration, and it took me a while to figure out how to actually manipulate it. They're on computer. You can enlarge them or contract them, but it takes a little learning. One thing I was not finding, Mike, was just sort of a lag in terms of the narrative that went into why they chose these three or why they were focusing on these threes. The minutes, I think, are up till November, the November meeting. And
I think that was that the last meeting?
No, they had one in December.
The very last one is not out there yet, but the very last one is.
So maybe the question for Karen, do we have any sense when I couldn't even tell. I had no idea what the advantages of these were. Or
yeah.
What specifically were you asking?
When we would have the information on the meeting at which they chose these three to focus on.
I actually would have that available for you in draft form if you would like to see. The maps are out there online. If you go to the site, they are the maps with the orange arrows in them.
Right.
Primarily the last meeting, the focus was on looking at the city itself.
Oh, I see.
And they selected a variety of maps for the city. And basically what they did was they input them into the maps that they had already chosen for outlying areas. It does not mean that one map will stay within that. They can be shifted and changed. And in addition, the members of the city redistricting were there, and they were informed that as long as they kept it within the 5+ or 5-, the actual makeup of the city could be modified from what we were recommending.
Okay. Thank you.
Before you go, Karen, tell us about the meetings you just wrote to me. They'll have in January.
The goals that the commission has is that in January they will most likely have a series of meetings like they did previously to the outlying districts to allow input from municipal officials, legislators, and the public to have input into what they are working on. And then in February, they will be finalizing their work and their report to come forward to you.
Okay.
I think that was a very good point that Karen just made. Our commission will be working with the city commission about the districting in the city.
Okay, and thanks, Mike. Peter, I think you had your hand up.
Yeah, just a couple of points. Just want to respond to Leslie's question. I think the fact that this committee is independent, my interpretation of that is that there is certainly nothing wrong with any legislator or any other citizen coming to a public meeting and making a comment or advising them on our viewpoints. I think a private meeting would be totally against the notion of an independent committee. And the second thing is the reason that the city is special is because the city has wards, and there's an attempt to try to make the wards and the legislative districts aligned as closely as possible. But that dual function of the districts doesn't occur in any place outside the city.
Okay. Anything else on that? Okay. Thanks, Mike. So your resolutions.
I have resolution. Which one? You want me to do G and L?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Let's move G. Authorizing the finance director to adjust certain solid waste charges on exempt tax properties. And I want to make one minor change in line 9 that the committee talked about. After the word solid waste fees, we could carry it in through 2011.
Okay. Is there a second? Pat seconds? Okay. Thank you. Any discussion? All right. All in favor of Resolution G, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. And L?
Adoption of revised administrative policy 03-15, the military leave policy. And I so move. This went through two committees, and the version was slightly revised in the Government Operations Committee. I assume that's why you asked me to move it.
Yes. All right. Seconded by Dave. All right. Discussion of this. Frank.
Thanks, Martha. Two for you, Mike. Can you explain what the revision was between the
revision
budget?
Was to keep the current policy time limit of 90 days as opposed to reverting to the federal mandate of 22 days for this kind of payment for our military service employees.
Is it in reading the resolution? It says one of the on the back side on page 24, packet page 24, it was to revert to the original. Was the original the one that included the 22 days?
Pre-2001, it did. It was changed in 2001 after the 9/11 incident to expand that to 90 days. So we would, the way it was adopted in budget, it would have gone back to the pre-2001. Our GO committee said it should stay at the 90 days. I think some of the discussion was the fact that we still have people who are being called up for service in various conflicts.
Okay, the second one is directed at Dooley. I'm sorry. Dooley, the change request form says name of requester and department, Dooley Kiefer, legislator, but yet at GO you voted against the resolution. Could you explain why?
Certainly. As Mike just mentioned, at GO it was changed not from 20 from 90 to, was not changed from 22 to 90 days, it was changed from 30 days to 90 days. The original federal requirement was 30 days in a month, which equates to about 22 working days. And I thought it was past time to keep invoking 9/11, which is when it went up to 90 days. And there was no reason not to go back to 30 days, which allows people in the service, armed services or National Guard, to attend summer training camps and so forth. That was the original purpose. It wasn't meant to cover extended tours in the Far East or Near East. So it just seemed to me it was time to go back to the original 30 days. And when it got, and that's what went through budget. And when it got to GO, it got changed from 30 to 90 days, and that's why I voted against it, because I don't think we should be making up the difference in military pay when it's a federal decision.
Thank you.
Okay. Jim and then Carol?
Also,
there is a reference to 9/11 in the old policy, and that reference is all out of the new policy, and it remains at 90 days, or it was suggested by GO to go to 90. We had moved it back to 30, and removed the 9/11 reference. I personally don't have a problem with the 90 days, and you know, I would support that.
Thank you, Jim. Carolyn, Kathy?
Yeah, I'm confused. If we are keeping the amount of time the same, is there any need to do this at all?
Yeah, the language changes.
Yeah, the language changes. Okay, and I have two other questions. So if we went back to the shorter period of time, does it in any way mean, does it affect whether we're allowing time for our employees? This resolution speaks to what we pay our employees, whether we pick up what the federal government hasn't required us to pick up, and basically do their pay for them, or add to their pay. But if we went back to the shorter period of time, would it in any way mean that we were not giving leave to our employees? Would they be losing their jobs?
No, that's mandatory by the federal government.
Okay. And so was there any discussion in the committee then about the notion of giving the time versus who's paying for it? Which is the question.
I just think it's a matter of keeping our employees whole for up to 90 days.
Okay, Kathy, then Brian.
Thanks. I was just wondering whether in the committee there was any discussion of the history of the cost of this to the county.
I think last year we had one person.
We've had one person throughout the whole time.
One year there was nobody.
So it's not a big cost then.
Right.
Brian.
This was a while ago. Since we in budget dealt with this,
right.
But I seem to, I don't recall the specifics, but I seem to recall our personnel department giving us an explanation as to why it was recommended that we go back to basically the old provisions, and I believe it had something to do with if it is just this one person, it's kind of a constant re-upping of him wanting to go.
I don't think it's always the same person here.
My recollection isn't great because, like I said, this
I don't
was
recall
probably
personnel
a month
recommending
ago.
That. I would defer to Joe on that.
I don't recall that either. I think personnel was passing through the recommendation or the request of Legislator Kiefer on this. It really is. It's a question of whether we revert to military law, which is the 30 days, or as a matter of policy. And I think the difference here too is it's been ad hoc. It's been based on if an individual comes forward, do we want to grant this for another year? It's almost been year by year. This would make it a matter of county policy. That we would provide the 90 days. So that's the other change. It's not so much ad hoc based on individuals. It's our policy.
Okay. I've got Pat and then Jim.
Okay. I don't recall anything in our committee meeting about the particular circumstances of any employee, but it was more the idea that if the legislature felt that it was important in the period following 9/11 that we provide this benefit to our service people who are on active duty for some period of time, that any argument that was made in support of that would be equally in support of any employee who was called to active duty for whatever conflict around the world that they might be called to active duty for, and that we didn't see any reason to make a distinction between the period subsequent to 9/11 and armed conflicts that might be going on now in various parts of the world, and especially given the fact that this seems to be a very limited, a benefit that has very limited use by numbers. The sense of the committee at that time was that we wanted to continue to provide the longer benefit, and as Joe said, we wanted to make it a matter of policy, not just something that had to be dealt with every year or on some kind of ad hoc basis.
I wanted to also mention in response to Carol's question, we have a policy on policies, basically, how we review policies. And one way to have any policy reviewed is the request of a legislator, any legislator. And that's what triggered this review.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jim?
What really triggered this review was that we operated in 2010 with an expired policy. We had no policy in 2010. It expired. The commissioner said at the time we had two options, one 30 days or 90 days if we wanted to keep it that way. We also learned at that time that there was one person who was affected by it during the whole time that 90-day policy was in place. In 2010, no one was affected by it. But so the resolution comes back. We recommended 30. It got changed to 90. And that's where we are now. So it's not a great mystery. It's where it is, and why it is that way. I think I just explained as clear as I can.
Carol and Frank, and I hope we can vote.
I have a follow-up question for Joe, then. So if we don't pass this, the county still does have the option of granting this on an ad hoc employee-by-employee basis?
We'd have no other choice. We'd fall back to military law, which is the 30-day minimum, and then if we felt that an individual should get this treatment, we would come back to the legislature for that, or to extend it a year at a time.
Okay. And, okay.
Frank?
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I don't hear any serious dissent around this table, and this board has such a good history of compassion and whatnot for our residents that I would urge that this is such a small concession to make that we just go ahead and pass it. And if it's appropriate to call the question, I don't know if there's anybody.
No, you, according to Mr. Stein, you've just made a statement that
you can't
also call the question.
Sorry,
but I will echo the sentiment, which is I hope we can vote.
Right.
Peter, do you still have something to say?
I had a quick question. Is it 90, if for an extended tour of duty, is it 90 days per year, or is it just the first
calendar year?
Per calendar year. Okay, thank you.
Julie?
I will move to change the 90 to 30, just because that's my position.
Is there a second? Second by Carol. Are we ready to vote on that? All in favor, please raise your hand. We're voting on changing it to 30 days instead of 90 days. 5. Opposed? 10. 5-10. That fails. Carol.
Yeah. If the United, I have concerns that that we are guaranteeing for the future federal choices, national choices that we don't get to weigh in on. In the future, if the United States were to get involved in a major conflagration somewhere or a war that we supported, I would, at that point, be in favor of stepping up and saying we support our employees and 90 days is fine. But it seems to me that this leaves our budget. It leaves us agreeing to cover federal decisions that we have no part in, and then it leaves our budget open to us picking up the difference if there were to be a major call-up, you know, in any of the areas around the world now that could blow up any day for major numbers of people, and we're guaranteeing that we'll pick them all up for 90 days. So I have concerns about that. I don't think I can support it for those reasons.
So the public knows this is to pick up the difference between their county, their military pay, and what they previously would have had at the county.
Peter?
Call the question.
Is there a second? Second by Jim. All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's 14 to 1. So it is time to vote on the policy. All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Opposed? That passes 13 to 2. Is that it, Mike?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Jim Dennis, Chair.
Yes. The agenda has a resolution L under our committee, and that's already been taken care of unless someone wants to bring it back up. And we have a meeting Monday at 3:30. The meeting is loaded with end-of-the-year resolutions. I'm hoping that if we get started, that we can do those rather quickly on Monday at 3:30. I call your attention to, and thank you, Mike, for bringing this, the poor town that made the mistake of not knowing what a tax cap was versus where to impose the tax cap. Pretty amazing stuff, I think. And finally, I did not make a comment during the time we were talking about the banning of hydrofracking in the Cougar Lakes or in the Pigeon Lakes area. I was one of the people that brought that up in at the end of the summer as other counties were doing that. And I just want to say thank you to PAM, the PDAC committee, for doing all the heavy lifting on that and the result that transpired this evening. That concludes my report.
Any questions for Jim? Thank you, Jim. Public Safety Committee Chair, Peter Stein.
Public Safety has not had a meeting since the last time I reported. I would like to report on a couple of items. The first is that I was at a meeting of the Community Justice Committee a couple of weeks ago, which and learned something that I found extremely concerning. It turns out that Judge Rowley reported that the use of the family drug court had increased from 20 people a year, that has been stable for many years, to 45 this year, a huge increase. And there was no real understanding of why that is. There was some belief that the availability of prescription drugs is increasing very rapidly, and that is a nice entryway to heroin, and that we're seeing a lot of heroin in the rural parts of the county, a dramatic increase in that. I find that extremely depressing. I don't know what we can do about it, but I just report that sad news. Oh, another thing is that there's also a significant increase in percentages of babies born that have tox screens in them. Poisons, drugs in their bloodstream. The fail a tox screen test, I think, is the way to put it. Another thing that I think we've talked about this before, but I want to talk about it again. There is a very unfortunate unfunded mandate headed our way. This has to do with the raising something that the Chief Judge of the Court of Appeals is very high on his agenda, namely to raise the age by 2 years for when a person below which a person convicted or accused of a crime will be handled as a juvenile instead of an adult. And it's much more expensive for a county to handle a case that involves a juvenile than exactly the same case, the same crime, when the person is an adult. And that will increase our costs and considerably. We're pleased that NYSAC is organizing a data compilation from counties on exactly how much that will cost the county, and we are participating in that and expect to be able to have that data given to NYSAC in the next, before the 15th of this month. We support the notion of increasing that age. The issue is who should be paying for it. Should the state be paying for it, or should the counties be paying for it? We believe the state should be paying for it, and we hope that the state will see it that way. But if not, that is going to be a severe problem for us. And the third thing I would like to report, that those are two bad pieces of bad news. A piece of good news is that the consultant study of the 911 center and how it's handling its business and how it's doing its protocols and how it's doing its training and how it's being staffed, that study by the consultant is now in full swing. And I have high hopes for the outcome. I hope they're justified.
Thank you, Peter. Thanks for bringing us up to date on those things. Pam, and then Will?
Well, I just have a law enforcement fact that somebody told me yesterday, is that the pepper spray that is used by law enforcement agencies, and 90% of it is TCE, which is the chemical that was just put on the known carcinogens list. So I think that's something that we need to be concerned about.
Thank you, Pam. Will?
And actually, building on Pam's point, I think many of us have been concerned about the increased militarization of local police forces and sort of a very aggressive military-style approach to handling demonstrations, of which pepper spray, of course, is one example. But another that I recently read about is the civilian use of drones. There is now at least one law enforcement department that has bought a drone, and apparently others are considering it. And I guess I would mention this only that I think it should be a concern, and I would hope that we would be aware of what's happening, at least at the county level, have a discussion about whether that's the direction in which we want to move.
So, Will, you said the civilian use of what?
Of drones.
Oh, okay.
Of drone aircraft by police department.
Peter?
Well, you're surely not talking about an armed drone that kills people like is being used in Pakistan and Afghanistan. I assume what this is a surveillance drone.
Surveillance, perhaps, yes.
I mean, is there a problem with that? I don't see
I think
it
there are problems with drones in general, but that's a discussion for another day.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. So I have a motion on the minutes of November 9th and November 15th, together, both. Frank moves them both. Nathan, is that a second? All right. Comments, Dooley?
I moved to separate so I can vote for one.
Is there a second on that to separate the 2 minutes? Well, that fails for lack of a second. All right. All in favor?
I heard what that was.
What?
I'm not sure that everybody heard what that was. What was it?
Okay. Frank, how about we just move one at a time?
That's okay.
All right. November 9th. All in favor of those minutes? Any opposed? That's unanimous. November 15th. All in favor of those minutes?
Aye.
Any opposed? That's 14-1. All right? Motion to adjourn.
Oh, I thought we were going to go into executive session.
I moved to adjourn.
Did I say executive session?
To discuss the...
Return. Thank you all very much.
Thank you for the stop.